Good morning. It's Monday, July 6th. I'm Beth Golay, and this is Wichita's Early Edition from KMUW News. Ballet Wichita is taking its production of Alice in Wonderland to stages across Kansas, and KMUW has a backstage pass. Today, Suzanne Perez tours the costuming department. That's coming up after the news. Nurses at two Wichita hospitals are striking today for safer working conditions. KMUW's Roger Nomer has more.
Union nurses at Ascension St. Joseph and St. Francis hospitals say hospital administration is not listening to their safety concerns. They are holding a one-day strike to advocate for things like weapon detectors at all hospital entrances. Hospital officials have said they will install detectors at emergency room entrances following two recent incidents. But nurses say that's not good enough. They also want more nurses in the hospital to divert violence. Marvin Ruckel is a neonatal nurse at St. Joseph Hospital. He says patients and nurses should not have to worry about violence.
That's our goal in this whole thing, is to make our patients safer, visitors safer, and all of our staff safer.
The hospital has hired replacement nurses during the strike. For KMUW News, I'm Roger Nomer.
A federal court in Kansas ruled this week that people living in a northeast Wichita neighborhood can move forward with a class action lawsuit against Union Pacific. In the 90s, a degreasing chemical was discovered in the soil and groundwater near 29th and Grove. The chemical is known to cause cancer. The contamination was traced back to a Union Pacific rail yard. The company signed a cleanup deal with the state in 2023. Since then, the chemical plume has spread 3 miles south of the rail yard. The court ruling means residents in this area could receive damages or a settlement from Union Pacific. A commercial truck driver from Wichita died Saturday after colliding with another semi in Pratt County. Kansas Highway Patrol officials say 53-year-old James Glover Jr. was driving east on U.S. 54, about half mile west of Cullison in Pratt County, early Saturday morning when he crossed the center line and drove into westbound traffic. Glover's semi, which was pulling a trailer, struck the side of another semi before it came to a stop in the westbound lane. The second semi driver was not hurt, but Glover died in the crash. State officials are warning the public to avoid one of the most popular lakes in western Kansas because it is contaminated with E. coli. Last week, people near Lake Scott noticed massive amounts of dead fish lining the edges of the lake. The Kansas Department of Wildlife and Parks says heavy rainfall washed waste into the water from a nearby feedlot, causing bacteria levels like E. coli to rise. The Kansas Department of Health and Environment is advising people to avoid contact with the water from the lake and its tributaries until further notice. Scientists at Kansas State University are working toward creating sensors that farmers could use in their fields to track nutrient levels remotely. Harvest Public Media's Celia Yopis-Jepson reports on how this could help farmers save money.
A challenge of farming is that fertilizer is pricey. Using too much of it or using it at the wrong time wastes money, and the excess fertilizer ends up polluting water. Supreme Das is an associate professor at Kansas State University's College of Engineering. His team uses graphene, basically carbon sheets that are just one or a few atoms thick, to sense phosphate. The ultimate goal is an electronic device that lets farmers easily monitor their soil.
So that you can sit down in your office or home, like you still can see how much phosphate is there.
The scientists hope to help farmers track nitrate this way, too. I'm Celia Yopis-Jepson, Harvest Public Media.
A solar farm is coming to the same park that is home to the underground nuclear reactor project in Parsons, Kansas. Rachel Schnelly with the Kansas News Service reports.
The solar farm will take up 2,500 acres of Great Plains Industrial Park. The park's website says the land is perfect for redevelopment and targets industries like solar energy. Unlike some renewable projects in the region, the Evergy 200-megawatt solar farm has had little pushback from Parsons residents. Labette County Commissioner Vince Scheibe says the project's location is ideal because it's an enclosed space and not next to homes.
That's still a secured area, and it's just a good place to put energy projects because it's secure and it's got its own containment.
The project has been in progress for nearly 5 years. It's scheduled to start operating in 2028. For the Kansas News Service, I'm Rachel Schnelly.
A local theater group is putting on its annual sensory-friendly show this week. KMUW's Anavi Prakash reports.
Music Theater Wichita has been doing sensory-friendly shows for over 3 decades. The production keeps house lights on and minimizes any bright lights and loud sound effects. Managing Director Angela Cassette says one of her favorite parts is building relationships with the families that attend every year.
To get to see kids, you know, grow year after year and come back and, you know, sing along, or like, it's really so great. So we feel really privileged to be able to do this particular performance every year.
This year's special needs matinee is Elf the Musical. For KMUW News, I'm Anavi Prakash.
A Democrat running for U.S. Congress in the Wichita area 4th District has dropped out of the race. Cole Epley announced he is suspending his congressional campaign and endorsed Chris Carmichael for the Democratic nomination. Epley is a 28-year-old former social worker. The Kansas Reflector reports he had hoped to push the party to the left by running as a, quote, proud progressive in a district where more moderate Democrats have repeatedly lost by wide margins to incumbent Republican Ron Estes. Epley will remain on the August 4th primary ballot. We'll be back after this.
KMUW's You're Spelling It Wrong is a spelling bee for grown-ups, and it puts the fun in fundraiser. There's pizza, drinks, smart alecky judges, and some really talented spellers, and lots of fun. It's Friday, August 28th at the Mint Event Venue. Tickets are now on sale. Sign up to compete or just watch the show live. Find out more at kmuw.org.
This is Wichita's Early Edition. I'm Beth Golay. This summer, Ballet Wichita is taking its production of Alice in Wonderland to stages across Kansas, and KMUW is taking you backstage to see how a ballet comes together. For today's story, Suzanne Perez talks with a Wichita woman who crafts the costumes that bring Alice, the Mad Hatter, and other characters to life.
Jan Duran knows her way around a sewing machine. She had been sewing most of her life when, about 9 years ago, someone at Ballet Wichita approached her about helping with some costumes for the Nutcracker.
I was asked if I could come down one evening in November and maybe help out. And I left 5 hours later in charge. And I had never touched a tutu before in my life.
And a ballet tutu, as any seamstress will tell you, is no easy feat.
You don't sew a tutu, you build a tutu. Because it's anywhere from 16 to 20 hours of labor involved with building a tutu.
Ballet is an art form, and costuming a ballet is a highly specialized craft that involves shopping, pattern making, cutting, sewing, structural engineering, and a lot of math. Each costume must fit the dancer perfectly and also withstand intense athletic movement. When it came to costuming Alice in Wonderland, company director Katie Andrusak envisioned the Royal Ballet's production, which is her personal favorite.
So I watched their version about 500 times, it feels like. And then I started poking around on Pinterest and other ballet companies' websites, as well as thinking about all of our costumes. Because Ballet Wichita has been around for over 50 years, and so we do have some very vintage costumes that have been a part of our history.
Andrusak considered the costume she had in-house, and then thought about what the company might build from scratch. And then she called Duran.
I don't have ballet experience, but I can sew. So she's the one who asked to go out and find those inspirations, and then I can say, yeah, I think I can do that. No, I don't know how to do that.
Duran's workshop fills a loft area in Ballet Wichita's building on West Douglas. There are racks of costumes in various stages of progress, filing cabinets full of patterns, and an iron that gets plenty of use. There's also a crock pot and a turkey roaster, but not for meals.
When you're dyeing synthetics, you need the fabric to stay at a certain temperature, and you can do that better with a crock pot.
For Alice in Wonderland, she has built more than 70 costumes, from flowy blue and white Alice to the elegant red Queen of Hearts. Andrusak, the company director, says her costume vision started with the Mad Hatter's chartreuse pants and bright pink jacket.
Gotta go crazy first. So yes, the Mad Hatter was probably the first thing that I got inspired by. And then it's the card court, the way to be creative making cards. We had talked about actual card tutus or different shaped tutus, and it has slowly morphed into a really fun new kind of short miniskirt tutu, which the girls are loving.
Duran teaches sewing in Wichita and chronicles her costuming process on her personal Instagram account.
It's Jan, and today is the day before the show. And I am down to my Queen of Hearts tutu, which I have been wrangling for the last couple of days. And see the shirt? Never underestimate the power of a woman with a sewing machine. I think I'm living it.
Amy Baumgartner is a dance mom and volunteer seam ripper. She says Duran's hard work brings the show to life and makes her children and all the dancers feel special.
We affectionately call her the fairy godmother because she makes those dancers pretty and she makes sure that they feel comfortable in their costumes.
Duran says the ultimate reward is seeing her costumes on stage.
The best thing for me is the first time I put a brand new costume on a dancer. And they just light up.
Ballet Wichita's Alice in Wonderland summer tour continues Saturday in Emporia. For KMUW News, I'm Suzanne Perez.
You can find other feature stories in this series at kmuw.org. Thanks for joining us for Wichita's Early Edition. We'll be back again tomorrow. For KMUW News, I'm Beth Golay.
Wichita's Early Edition is part of the NPR Podcast Network.
I'm Terry Mott, KMUW's External Engagement Coordinator. You're invited to the next Pint Night, 5:30 p.m. on Wednesday, July 15th at Prost. It's an evening with conversation, drinks, and cheer among listeners and KMUW staff. I hope to see you there.
Each story you hear on Planet Money starts with a question. What happens if we refund tariffs? Why are groceries so expensive? At NPR, we stand for your right to be curious, because the forces shaping our world can be hard to see. Follow NPR's Planet Money wherever you get your podcasts and start seeing how the economy really works.